Who Doesn't Save You Tries Again, a Marvel and DC crossover fic written by 49 Car Crash and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. 5 times the time loop ends violently, and 1 time it doesn't. Clint's day starts off not great, and manages to get worse from there. And then it repeats. And then it repeats a few more times. Thankfully, the story does have a happy ending, or 3. Chapter 1. Clint wasn't much of a morning person. He could be, on a mission, when he had a job to do and a time and a place to do it. He wasn't on a mission right now. He wasn't doing much of anything right now, certainly nothing that required getting up at an unreasonable hour. So the sun was high in the sky by the time he rolled out of bed and wandered out into the kitchen, thinking vaguely about breakfast and less vaguely about coffee. These thoughts were abruptly interrupted by a pigeon that had gotten into the safe house, opened the pantry, and started eating his cereal from where it was now spilled all over the floor. They stared at each other for a long few seconds before some of Clint's neurons fired together and he realized he should get it out of here. Choo! He flapped his hands gently towards the pigeon. It didn't seem to understand. He didn't understand either, really. How had it gotten in here? Had they left a window open? Clint glanced over at the only 2 windows in the entire apartment. Neither of them were open. Maybe the pigeon had already been living here, unnoticed, since before they arrived at the safe house. Clint stepped over and opened one of the windows, then returned his gaze to the pigeon that was still nonchalantly eating Clint's food. He could do this. He could get this pigeon safely out of this place without harming it or himself. He could. The pigeon, apparently intuitioning his intentions, suddenly flapped its wings and launched directly at Clint's face, giving him several unnecessary slaps and scratches before flying safely through the window. Clint spun around, flabbergasted, and slammed the window shut again, glad at least that no one had been around to see him get bested by a goddamn bird. "I hate this city," he hissed vehemently. "We can leave." Clint didn't jump at the unexpected voice, but it was a near thing. Bucky was quieter on his feet than Clint was, almost as quiet as Natasha, and that was saying something. "Nah," Clint counted instead, almost automatically. They could leave the city, but that would be messy. Gotham might not be Clint's first choice, all things being equal, might be a shithole according to a variety of sources, but it was still a good place for each of them under current circumstances. Bucky refused to call what he was doing hiding. That was probably the best description from an outside perspective. He was primarily avoiding Steve, who would never voluntarily come to New Jersey and almost certainly assumed Bucky wouldn't either. Likewise, Clint wasn't technically hiding, but he needed some time away from the Avengers and away from S.H.I.E.L.D. and especially away from any bits of Hydra who might have grievances with him. None of these people were likely to step foot in Gotham and risk having a city's well-documented bullshit rain down on them. Bullshit like cereal stealing, Hawkeye attacking, pigeons. And just complaining. Coffee? Clint moved towards the machine while doing his best not to step on any of the cereal all over the floor. He'd sweep it up later, once he was caffeinated and functional. "Sure, if it's quick," Bucky said. "There's something going down a couple blocks away that I want to go check out." "What kind of something?" Clint asked, willing the coffee maker to go faster. He wasn't going to stay behind if Bucky was going to get up to some serious shit, but he really, really didn't want to have to handle things in his current mental and physical state of being. Coffee and pants, at least, were a requirement for going outside. "Not sure. Spell, maybe." "Ugh. Magic. Fuck that." Wasn't as bad as goddamn Nazis, but Clint hadn't exactly had pleasant interactions with magic in his past either. "All right," he said, chugging the scalding hot coffee in blissful disregard for his esophagus. "Let me get some clothes on and we can go check it out." Sure enough, there was some kind of magician wannabe in the neighborhood charmingly known as Crime Alley, and he seemed to be casting a spell that Clint was not inclined to assume was beneficial or harmless. Clint aimed an arrow at the guy, a net arrow, to capture, not kill, but before he could lose it, there was a sharp crack of a gunshot, a splatter of blood on the side of his face, and everything went dark. Chapter 2. Clint woke up with his heart pounding. He frantically swiped his hand over his cheek and relaxed, slightly, when it didn't come away covered in blood. He relaxed further when he put his hearing aids in and was greeted with the sound of the shower and the tiny safe house bathroom running. Presumably, Bucky was in there alive and perfectly fine. Clint had had a weird dream, was all. That's all it had been. He could go back to sleep if he wanted, except the adrenaline that burned through his veins and taking away any chance of sleeping any longer, so instead he threw his blankets off and headed for the kitchen. At least in real life, there wouldn't be any cereal stealing pigeons. He opened the door between the bedroom and the kitchen and there was a pigeon. Eating a cereal. What the fuck? What the fuck? What's going on? Clint jumped. Damn it, man, stop sneaking up on me! He complained with a scowl. So, the pigeon wasn't a dream? Bucky asked. Clint whirled to look at him. You had the same dream? Pigeon ate my cereal. I heroically escorted it out through the window. We went to check out some magic thing in Crime Alley and then... And then I got shot in the head? Bucky finished grimly. Yeah, I don't think it was a dream. Well, fuck. At least you're not actually dead? Clint tried weakly. Go get dressed, Bucky ordered. Clint debated refusing on principle before he added, I'll get rid of the pigeon for you. And coffee, Clint called as he went, more than happy to make that trade-off. Put the coffee on before you make me go back out to deal with Magic Arsenal Extraordinaire again. Bucky managed not to get attacked by the pigeon in his own attempt to get it out of the apartment. Clint wasn't sure whether he was more impressed or jealous or just relieved that he hadn't had to deal with the bird himself today. The magician guy and his hench people were in the same place as yesterday, adding further support to Clint's growing theory that they might be caught in a time loop. Helpfully, Bucky didn't get shot in the head this time. Unhelpfully, Clint did. Chapter 3. Clint had never been so relieved to wake up. Admittedly, he'd never died before. He wasn't sure if it counted as him dying yesterday if yesterday didn't actually exist. Things to ponder later. Or never, probably. Bucky greeted Clint with a full cup of coffee as he walked into the kitchen, already fully dressed and ready to defend his cereal. Forget the pigeon. Bucky said firmly, noticing Clint's death glare at the bird munching happily on spilled cereal. If the day resets, we'll just have to deal with it again. But he knew Bucky was right, but he didn't have to like it. But he also didn't want the bird to attack him again. He downed his coffee before relenting. Fine, but if the loop doesn't reset, you owe me a new box of cereal. I'll charge a pigeon for it, Bucky replied. I don't think pigeons carry cash, Clint pointed out as they exited the building and started up the fire escape. You never know, we're in Gotham. I hate this city. Yeah, you said that before, Bucky said with a smirk. Come on, if we get to the location early, maybe we can finally catch the asshole who shot each of us. Yeah, all right, I'm going as fast as I can, Clint griped. Did you get a look at the shooter yesterday, at least? Are they working with the magician? I don't know if he's working with the magician for certain, but I can't imagine why he would keep showing up and shooting us if he wasn't. But yeah, I got a good look at him. Clint waited for a few beats before prompting for more information. And what did he look like? Big, muscled, had some kind of dumb outfit on, and a mask. A mask? Clint repeated, intrigued. What kind of mask are we talking? Like a generic henchman ski mask type deal, or a domino, or like a cool villain kind of mask? Bucky shot him a look that Clint could swear he'd seen on Natasha's face before. None of the above. Full face affair. Red. Huh. Clint chewed on that for a minute, then shrugged. It was a good enough landmark to target, anyway. So, what's the plan? He asked, figuring that somewhere in all this, Bucky probably had a plan and he was just being terrible about sharing it. We're going to split up. Bucky explained his plan, and what Clint heard of it sounded solid and reasonable. But he was also a little caught out by his eagerness, by the tone in his voice. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thing. Clint was increasingly desperately holding onto his cool the longer he spent time alone with the guy who was both his childhood crush and an absolute legend of a sniper. The heat in Bucky's voice was definitely not turning Clint on a little. The plan was good. Clint showed up to the same place in the fight as they had the past 2 days and waved to the guy while Bucky took him out with a beautiful sneaky sniper shot. Payback was great. And then, Everything went dark. Chapter 4. Oh, come on! Jin complained as he walked into the kitchen and was greeted, yet again, by the cereal-stealing pigeon. Forget the pigeon, Clint, Bucky said tiredly. He was already sitting at the table, two mugs of coffee in front of him. I meant about the time loop repeat, Clint said unconvincingly. He was genuinely annoyed that the time loop kept repeating and that they had no idea how to break out of the loop. But it was only day 3. Day 4? Did you count time loops starting from the first repeat or the first day overall? So far, plenty of potential repeats to figure things out. Probably. I thought if we took that guy out, the time loop would end. So did I, Bucky said grimly. He was clearly miffed that his plan hadn't worked. At least neither of us died this time, Clint said. True. Clint sipped his coffee as they sat there for a few minutes quietly. Getting into the fight didn't feel quite as urgent as it had on previous days, particularly without having some kind of plan going on. All right, let's review what we know. Clint decided after the quiet had drawn out long enough to be uncomfortable. He wasn't sure if Bucky was just thinking or if he was some flavor of upset that his plan from yesterday didn't work, but there were two of them in this together. It was past time to start acting like it. There's a magician brewing some kind of spell in Crime Alley today. He's surrounded by hench people, including one with a full-face red mask who seems to have particular beef with us. If you, me, or the red mask guy dies, the day resets and we wake up here again. I'm not sure the red mask guy is with the magician, Bucky said, considering. I think they might be on opposite sides. So, what do you go and kill us for? Clint asked. We're also against the magician, assuming that the magician is up to no good. Maybe the spell is actually a super lovely thing and the red mask guy is, I don't know, countering it in order to be villainous. No, I think the magician is definitely bad news, and Red Mask is working against him just like we are. But maybe he doesn't know that. Maybe he assumed we are with the magician. Well, that's rude of him. Bucky shrugged. He doesn't know us any more than we know him. Besides the killing each other thing, Clint commented. Not that he's likely to remember that. Okay, what if we forget about Red Mask murder guy and go directly after the magician instead? We've been through this day 3 times. We can find the magician before he gets to the point that Red Mask shows up. Sure. They avoided the rooftop this time, wandering through the streets and getting only slightly turned around before finding the warehouse where the magician was pulling together components for his magic spell. It was a good plan, which meant it wasn't as surprising as it should have been when Red Mask crashed the party as well. Looks like we weren't the only ones with this idea, Finn commented under his breath. I got it, Becky said, barreling towards their nemesis with a vengeance. Red Mask let out a hilarious, pissy-sounding huff as he caught sight of them, and Clint couldn't help his laughter. He wished he had popcorn for this.
Listen, I think maybe we got off on the wrong foot.
Red Mask snarled as he moved back after landing a particularly good punch against Becky's chest. I haven't been getting off at all. There's been a distinct lack of getting off, Clint said automatically. So, okay. Maybe the way the guy was actually holding his own against the Winter Soldier was kind of hot. Clint was allowed to flirt. He was a friendly, multitasking guy like that.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Red Mask teased back, and oh, Clint was about to be in so much trouble. It wouldn't be the first time he tried to get someone on his side via the power of seduction instead of sticking to the actual plan. But it would definitely be the first time since partnering up with Bucky. Although, Bucky didn't seem particularly put out by the flirting. He'd even pulled back a little, pausing his attack while he and Red Mask eyed each other. So maybe he was alright with his improvisation. Maybe he would be interested in joining in on the flirting. No, it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thing. Clint was cool as a cucumber. I mean, doesn't have to be personal, Clint said with a wink. He was not actually cool as a cucumber. He couldn't even lie to himself like that anymore.
You know, I think the world might be worse for your lack of orgasms. You should make it a priority to fix that.
Clint grinned and opened his mouth to respond just as something exploded and everything went dark. Chapter 5. Okay, so Clint started as he strolled out of the bedroom, fully dressed and successfully not paying attention to the cereal-stealing pigeon. So, Bucky prodded after Glenn didn't follow that up with anything further. I don't know. I got nothing. He seems nice. Glenn offered, wincing a little. Nice enough to flirt with, Bucky said, his voice drier than the Sahara. Oh, like you've never flirted with someone because of their skillet fighting. He was holding his own against you. If he was going to dig a hole, then, by God, he was going to dig the best hole he could. What a terrible metaphor. Where did his brain come up with that? Clearly, he needed coffee. Yes, he was. Clint did a double take. Was that? No. James Barnes, are you telling me a guy landing a punch on you makes you want to jump his bones? Don't call me that, Bucky complained. And yeah, why not? Competency is hot. Clint stared at him, wondering if there were additional layers to that statement, but Bucky's perfectly blank face gave him nothing to go off of. Wait, was that a wink? Anyway. Okay, sure. So, on that note, what do you think about avoiding the magician bush entirely and figuring out who the remarkably competent and attractive Red Mask murder guy is instead? Yesterday you wanted to forget Red Mask and go after the magician. Today you want to forget the magician and go after Red Mask. Clint shrugged. It's not like anything else we've done has changed anything. We could at least figure out who we're fighting slash talking slash flirting with. Slash dying with. Bucky commented. Don't forget about the bomb. Clint grimaced. He was trying to skirt past the whole dying, again, situation. It was uncomfortable to think about for too long. They were stuck in a time loop. Sure, but they had no idea what would be the thing that broke them out of it. Which day would be the last? Okay, fair. Let's see if we can get insight into Red Mask's identity quickly enough to not get blown up again. It wasn't actually that hard to learn who the guy was. A brief chat with a local informant, a quick rummage through the classified shield files that Natasha had conveniently dumped where people in the know would find them, and they had the guy. One of Batman's previous Robins, Jason Todd. Was currently running around the city under a new moniker. Red Hood, Clint mused. I don't know, I kinda like Red Mask better. Glory trying not to associate himself with a black mask, Bucky commented. Looks like he's mostly stylized himself as a vigilante, not villain. I guess. Clint closed down the browser and wiped all evidence of their actions off of the computer. Pause of habit. Though he was reasonably certain this random Gotham library wouldn't be easily traced to them, specifically. They weren't even supposed to be in Gotham. So, we probably still have time to try to get to the magician, Clint offered as they exited the building. No, I think... Except, Clint was no longer listening to what Bucky was thinking because there was a dog in the street and a car coming toward it, and he moved instinctively and pushed the dog safely out of the way. And then he felt a crunch. And everything went black. Chapter 6. Clint was still asleep when someone knocked on the door to their safe house. He was, wakely, meandering up towards wakefulness by the time said someone opened the door to the bedroom and flipped on the lights. Wake enough at least to open one bleary eye and complain about the whole experience. No, no coffee yet. Come back to kill us later. After coffee. Red Hood leaned against the wall and started talking in earnest. Clint fished his hearing aids off the nightstand and put them in just in time to hear the tail end of his rant. And short, grumpy, and armed over here got me back for it. And last time I didn't do anything at all. Did you two get sick of each other or something? Clint snorted and grinned at Bucky. Armed, he repeated gleefully. Jason opened and closed his mouth a few times, obviously uncomfortable. Gun. I know, Clint just can't help himself. Bucky said sympathetically before crossing to place his gun on the nightstand and sit next to Clint on the bed. Hell yeah, this morning was going about a million times better than the previous ones. And speaking of can't help himself, Jason and I were just talking about yesterday. Maybe you want to clarify what happened, Clint? Never mind. Clint took it back. This morning sucked. Not even the exciting realization that Bucky didn't have a shirt on could make this better. Embarrassing is what it was. A dog ran into the street and I thought she was going to get hit by a car. Clint mumbled into his blanket. Sorry, Clint, I didn't catch that, and I don't think Jason did either. Bucky lied. Maybe you could say it a little louder? I said, There was a dog. She ran in the street and I thought she was going to get hit by a car. And then... coffee? After you tell us what happened next. And then... and then I got hit by a car. Coffee? Jason laughed, and Bucky laughed with him, and Clint pouted a bit because, okay, yeah, mistake had been made, but also, rude. You got us reset by getting hit by a car, trying to keep a dog from getting hit by a car? Jason asked after he had calmed down a little. Not trying, Clint objected, struggling upright. If they were going to have this conversation, they were going to have it without him lying down on the bed like a fainting Victorian maiden. I did. I did keep her from getting hit by a car. Yes, you did. Bucky consoled him. Clint squinted at him, suspicious of his tone and suspicious of the mug of coffee he pulled out from who knew where. Not suspicious enough to refuse the caffeine, however. So, the time it was happening to you, too. We thought so. He told Jason before gulping down his drink. He watched Jason's eyes widen as he did so, and to be fair, the liquid was quite hot, but the guy wisely did not comment on Clint's caffeination habits. Yeah, it's been a day, he said instead. I thought it was because I shot you? Jason looked vaguely guilty about that. But then I was the one who got shot and it happened again. Eventually it made sense that I needed to catch the magician earlier in the day, and then the bomb. Yesterday I was trying to get out of town so we wouldn't trip over each other, but that didn't really work out the way I hoped. Yeah, sorry about that, Clint said. But hey, now you're here, and we're here, and we can figure out a way together. Or something. We've got two real options, Bucky said. Find the magician and make him undo the spell, or figure out what he said as a release sequence. If it's the three of us living out the loop, then whatever gets us out should also involve all three of us. Well, Jason drawled after a moment. If we know the day is going to reset on us anyway, maybe we've got time for you to see the sights. Maybe grab a bite to eat? Avoid heavy traffic and gunfights? Clint grinned at him. That was definitely a flirt. He raised his eyes to see Bucky's reaction, and ooh, that was a smirk. Excellent. Full speed ahead. Well, we'd love to, but we're so new to the area, Clint said with a wink. Do you think you might know someone who could show us around? Maybe someone gorgeous who wouldn't be too surprised if things got a little weird or heavy, Bucky added. Clint about swallowed his tongue. Damn, he didn't realize Bucky had moves. Jason smiled back at them. Oh, you know, I think I know just the guy. There was movement in the bed. Clint woke up with the surprising but pleasant realization that he wasn't alone. There was someone stretching their arm behind him. Well, that wouldn't do. He grabbed one of the arms and settled it firmly back around his chest where it belonged. Too early. More sleep. He mumbled vaguely. There's a bird staring me down. Jason said, voice a little strangled. Oh, right. The pigeon. It's a Gothamite, Bucky said sleepily. It's your problem. Later. Clint smiled as the warm bodies around him settled back down and he drifted back into sleep.